us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
9-8 Red Sox. One on, two out, bottom 11. Bernardino throws. And a fastball called! Strike three! Ball game over, and the win of the year for the Red Sox. They get out of Philly with the finale, 9-8 the score. A Romy Grand Slam made it a new game, and a Carlos Narvaez extra innings two-run bomb will send the Red Sox home happy.
Jones and Keith live today. Day two, Patriots training camp. It has wrapped up. That was the Red Sox. Wild win last night. Necessary win last night. You heard Will Fleming with the call here on WEEI. Jones and Keefe again live today at Patriots training camp. We are brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bio heat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Here at Gillette, Keefe, not only is it training camp day, it's also Chick-fil-A day.
Yeah, very excited about that.
As it turns out, I have never seen Griffin move the way he just did.
Oh, he just took off.
I'm not sure I've seen a human being.
No, he's quick.
Move the way he just, like, we thought Diggs was moving well.
No.
At camp.
Griff.
The cutting ability and sprint time that I just saw from Griff getting up when he saw you walking back with Chick-fil-A.
He just lost his mind.
Is unparalleled. He goes, it's Chick-fil-A day, and the next thing you know, he was gone.
Stormed out.
It was, it was a tribute to the human torch.
It's a great problem to have here. They feed you well at Gillette.
Yeah.
So it's funny, though. Lanny and I were talking about this the other day about how, like, all, like, the media people, they have, like, an area to eat, and they do it, like, on game day and stuff, and they usually have good stuff.
Yeah, like, yesterday you had
fish, mac and cheese.
Lanny had, like, a nice thing of steak tips or whatever they were. Yeah.
Like, once or twice during camp, they have Chick-fil-A day, and people are, like, pushing each other out of the way. There's like a long line. People are fighting over them, and you're like, guys,
Lord of the
Flies. Good food all the time.
It's Lord of the Flies on Chick-fil-A day.
It's bizarre. I mean, I get it. I really like their delicious chicken sandwiches, but like everything is good. So I don't know why all of a sudden people are fighting and sprinting because of this. It's like, you know, you can go down the street and just buy it. I like free food as much as the next guy.
It's very reasonably priced. I don't know if there's a lot of them per se. Where how many?
There's enough.
Are there? Yeah, there's enough. Exactly.
I got a couple somewhat close to me, I guess. So
exactly.
It's not too far out of the way. But people act like, but it's like the food tomorrow will be just as good, if not better.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
It was a great observation by Billy. He's just like, guys, there's tremendous food here every single day.
How come nobody's fighting
and
each other?
And yet on Chick-fil-A day, it's like
they've never seen food before.
Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it's true.
The late great Hulk Hogan.
That's true.
Wrestling over the Chick-fil-A. So it is Chick-fil-A day here on day two.
Yes, it is. Exciting.
Red Sox able to avoid the sweep again last night, Keith. I mean, I guess it's a real low bar. I don't mean to let them off the hook. But as bad as it's been out of the All-Star break, losing a series to the Cubs, losing a series to the Phillies, offense largely invisible, even last night during a win. Rob Refsnyder can't keep track of the outs. He's just hosing throws with three outs to nobody.
Maybe he's getting some work in.
Maybe.
He's like, I got to try this out.
Guys, I know how many outs there are. I'll just keep my arm loose.
I got to uncork one here.
You know, Story ran into an out in extra innings last night that was just brainless. So, like, there's a lot of bad going on with the Red Sox, but it could have been a lot worse. They avoid a sweep against the Cubs with a win that kind of came out of nowhere. They were getting shut down and all of a sudden exploded for six runs late in that game. Two home runs from Abreu, a big shot from Bregman. And then last night, they're doing nothing. They're getting no hit through four innings. And they still didn't get a ton of hits off Lizardo last night, but they got the big one, the grand slam, by Romy Gonzalez. Lizardo was walking the building last night.
Yeah.
They got bailed out by Real Muto, missing a pop-up in foul territory last night. And they got bailed out by Lizardo walking the building. But when the Red Sox do that to other teams, we call them idiots, and we say they don't know how to play. And when another team does it, I'm not going to say anything different. So the Red Sox take advantage of that last night. Narvaez gets the big home run in extra innings.
Also threw another guy out. So, like, Narvaez had a nice bounce back.
By a mile in extras. He threw out whoever was trying to swipe second to end the 10th inning. You're right. So a bounce back performance from him after two crappy days. I mean, it's not great with the Red Sox. I don't mean to make it sound great, but it'd be a lot worse if they didn't have these two come from behind out of nowhere victories against the Cubs and Phillies.
No, when you lose the first two and then you're losing like midway through game three, it almost feels like you got swept, and then they have these comeback wins. But obviously the comeback win against the Cubs didn't change anything. It wasn't like, oh, there you go, now they get the momentum going, right? That's sort of what they were asking Cora about last night, like how big the win was last night. It's like, yeah, it's good, like you didn't get swept, but it obviously didn't lead into anything as you lost your next two games to Philly, really just got destroyed in the middle game. I mean, that was just like non-competitive. They had the one home run, but then like four hits total. They struck out a million times. That was bad. And then the way this game got started, you're like, oh my God. Like, this is over. They're going to be 1-5 coming out of the break.
I was worried, legitimately worried they were going to get no hit last night.
They were getting no hit.
No joke. I'm like, it'd be perfect. Devers had two home runs. We haven't talked about this today.
Yeah.
We talked about one of the home runs in real time yesterday. Devers played first 2 days ago. He hits the two bombs yesterday. I'm like, it'd be a perfect day for the Red Sox to get no hit. Devers finally wakes up.
I know.
Finally. I mean, he's done nothing in San Francisco. They've been terrible.
Right.
He finally wakes up. He hits two bombs, and then you get no hit. That would just be perfect symmetry. I'm like, that's going to happen.
It would have.
And not only did that not happen, they came from behind. They won the game. And they,
you feel
a lot different about it.
The first few innings of the game, how you're thinking. You're like, all right, not only does this look like an inevitable loss, but Lucas Giolito, who was lights out prior to the break, now turning back into a pumpkin. He gives up four home runs.
Yeah, I hope they've learned from that. How many did he give up in the last start? It was at least two.
No, one, I think.
Oh, was it?
He's given up 9 runs total in the last 2 games. I think it was only one homer in the Cubs game, but either way, he's now given up a pile. Four yesterday. And you're like, oh my God, they're going to lose this. They get him out of the game. And they come storming back. But then it wasn't just like they came back and capped it off. Like, you had a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Your most reliable guy, Aroldis Chapman, comes in early. Alex Cora is aggressive, puts him in the seventh inning. And then he gets the tough lefties out, serves up a home run. So it's, his second blown save of the year. And now it's tied. And you're like, great, here we go. If this thing goes to extra innings, or it's going to go to extra innings, then what chance do they have? They lose every extra inning game on the road. But they find a way to scratch and claw and get the win. So it's a massive win. You combine that with what else is going on in the American League. Despite this really, really slow start to the second half, they're still tied for the second wild card. They're still a playoff team. And the trade deadline is 1 week from today. There's no game today for the Sox. There's also no game next Thursday. So they got a big series coming up with the Dodgers, which, once again, I feel like we're saying you got to win this series. You got to take 2 out of 3.
But you said this earlier, this one does feel more winnable based on the pitching matchups than that one.
It does. You're not facing a Wheeler or even any of the guys from the Cubs.
The best pitcher you're facing, Kershaw, who's been good, but he's not vintage Kershaw. You have Crochet going that game.
Exactly. So Bayo tomorrow.
They feel winnable.
Yeah, exactly. So this could be good. Also, there was some talk that Mookie Betts might not play tomorrow.
Yep. Good. Good news. It sounds minor for him. He's got some minor personal thing going on.
Yeah.
He's been horrible this year, so maybe that's not good news.
Is he bad?
He's hitting like .239 with a couple home runs. My. He's not been good.
For Nick to chime in so quick, his defensive metrics must be bad.
Yeah, it was just bad.
Nick was shortstop. Nick was like real ready to go with that.
Let's see. Mookie Betts this season, .238, .679 OPS, has 11 dinks and 6 steals.
Oof.
What happened to this guy? All right, down year for Betts.
Yeah, down year for Betts.
Down year for Betts.
Okay, but
first
still,
time he wasn't an all-star in like years.
I'd still consider it a win to not have him come back to Fenway Park and smack a bunch of home runs off you right in front of your fan base. But that's me, personally. Anyway, I'm with you. They should win the series. Let's stick with Chapman for a moment. Sam Kennedy said something that caught your ear today.
Yes.
On the Front Office Report, Greg Hill Show, every Thursday at 9 a.m. You can mark that down here on WEEI. You can listen on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature. Go back and listen to Sam this morning. He was asked about the Red Sox and their biggest needs at the deadline, and here's how he answered.
You can never have enough pitching. I mean, I've just been in this for so long. Usually the team with the most lockdown bullpen, team with a great rotation, are teams that are built to go deep in the postseason. That said, I can tell you there's a lot of outbound phone calls being made down the hall in baseball operations, looking at ways to upgrade our defense at certain positions, catcher, first base, right-handed, left-handed. I mean, we're looking, trying to uncover all opportunities to improve this team. That said, when you've got 20, 21 teams at this point trying to do the same, it's challenging. So my guess is it'll come right down to the end as it usually does.
Okay, so the end of that answer I hate. It's going to come down to the end. There's 20 or 21 teams, which implies there's a lot of teams involved. Prices are high, the same sort of stuff we heard yesterday from Jeff Passan. I don't like that, but that's not what jumped out to you.
No, first of all, he's asked what's the biggest need, and he eventually named like 10 things. But the first thing he said after pitching, the most specific
very first thing
bullpen. Teams with really good bullpens usually win in the end. So I just wondered, all right, he never, obviously these guys don't want to give you too much. They don't want to tell you everything that they're talking about in-house, but they, you know, they answer some of the questions. And this one, I wonder, have he and Breslow been talking about it, and Breslow's sort of pointing out that, like, here are the list of guys we're going after, here are the guys we're calling after, and, like, here's maybe the ones we're close on, and it's a lot of relievers. Is he hearing a lot of relievers? And then sort of hyping up the fact that lockdown bullpen, shutdown bullpen, this is what wins, and you're at least not going to be shopping in, like, the deep, deep end of the pool. Like, you don't need to go get Emmanuel Class A because you have Chapman.
Right.
Like, you have Whitlock.
Right.
But you better not be getting, like, Sims and Garcia from a year ago and thinking that that's going to be what makes it a lockdown bullpen. Starting pitching is more important for this team.
Agreed.
Than reliever. And so is bat. He gets into catcher, first base, righty, lefty, all this other stuff.
So,
but they need another bat.
He framed it as defense, but I think he meant defensive alignment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, the first bat he mentions is catcher.
So I'm like, if you get a backup, and first of all, Narvaez maybe eventually cools off, but if you're just looking at catchers right now and the ones that are going to be available, Narvaez had a weird weekend or a weird stretch of games, but he did just hit a home run. He did just throw a guy out. He's been pretty good, really good defensively this year. He's hit better than expected. Connor Wong's been atrocious, but he also plays once a week. So if at the deadline next week they add a guy that can pitch the seventh inning and a backup catcher,
sucks.
That's not a good return. No, that's, like, not a good day.
Those are needs. Like, they're needs, but they're not your biggest needs.
No, I'll take them, like, on the pile.
I'll take a bullpen arm. I'll take another catcher. Get Connor Wong out of here and hedge against Narvaez dropping off. And by the way, I don't really care that Carlos Narvaez leads the bigs in catcher's interference. That was a huge one in a big spot the other night in extra innings. You know, less so on the Bryce Harper play yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather. But, like, they were losing that game in extras either way. There's more net positive with the pitch framing. There's more net positive with him maybe being a half inch closer, throwing runners out. Like, I don't care about any of that. Those are needs. They're not your biggest needs. But I will say, just thinking about the way they've had to use the bullpen recently. Chapman, they asked him to get four outs last night. I was surprised he stayed in beyond the lefties. He got the last out of the seventh, Schwarber. He got the first out of the eighth, Harper. I wasn't even positive he was going to come back out for Harper.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
They left him in against the righties. It came back to bite him. I think they want to keep Chapman to one clean inning. I don't think they want him coming up and then sitting down and coming back out. I don't think they want him for more than three outs. They don't want Whitlock for more than an inning, which I think is the right decision.
Yeah,
Whitlock,
that changed.
When they asked him to go multiple innings earlier this year, he was atrocious.
Yeah.
He's been good because they're getting one inning out of him. So how many arms do you trust in that bullpen, Keith? Is it Chapman and Whitlock right
My
now?
My guy Hicks bounced back yesterday.
My guy Alcala in extras kind of sort of held on, not really.
So Hicks and Alcara, I don't think you can.
Weissert, Bernardino.
Bernardino's been a little bit better,
Wilson,
I guess.
Wilson. Like, I don't know. I don't feel great about any of those other guys, would be my point. Wilson, I think, has been fine.
I was going to say, Wilson.
He actually threw you two great innings last night.
Wilson's not bad.
But if you can't use Chapman for more than three outs and you can't use Whitlock for more than three outs, you do need a bullpen arm.
But that's also, rather than getting, like, a scrubby bullpen arm that's available, get a starter and put Fitz into the pen.
Yep.
And be like, hey, we only need two innings from you.
Yeah, so again, I don't – bullpen arm is not number one for me. Neither is catcher, Sam.
Oh.
But a starter and a big bat, if you want to supplement that with those other things, then I'm fine with it. But if those are your big takeaways of the deadline, not enough. Sam Kennedy also responded to reports by Jeff Passan and Alex Speer that the Red Sox are kind of balking at the high asking price out there at the deadline. Here's how Kennedy answered that question from Curtis.
Yeah, we're looking to improve, Chris. And, you know, Passan and Alex and all these guys talk to lots of different people. I'm not sure where those reports specifically come from, because I can tell you there's been a, going all the way back to December, January, February, there's been an urgency around this organization to be as competitive as possible in 2025, and really excited about the group that we have. So there's a lot of activity in terms of preparing the fan base for what may happen. It would be foolish to try and predict here, because when you get into the trade deadline, emotions run high across all of baseball, and players who may not be available today may be available just 4 or 5 days from now. So not really sure the direction it's going to go. We'll just continue to monitor all opportunities and see what might be available as we get closer to the 31st.
So, again, he kind of gets away from the promises he made early. I'm going to hold him to the first part.
Yeah.
Urgency, And they're going to try to, you know, compete, contend, however he phrased it, in 2025. He said 2025 in there.
Oh, yeah.
Not next year, not setting the team up long term. So they've had urgency since the offseason. They're going to try to go for it in 2025. Good. I'm going to hold them to that part of it. Not, well, I can't make any predictions.
Uh-huh.
We don't know how it's going to play out. No.
It's emotional.
You're making the best team you can in 2025, and you're going to show urgency? I'm holding you to that. And if you don't, I'm going to be pissed at the whole organization, but specifically my guy Breslow.
So speaking of 2025, one name that's been out there, Rob Bradford mentioned it to us, a player that will be a free agent at the end of the year. So there's a true rental. You'd have this guy for a couple of months. San Diego Padres, Dylan Cease. We've mentioned him here and there, like in a group of names. There was that list of pitchers. I think there's 10 deep starting pitchers.
Yep.
His name got brought up. Of course, his name got brought up because how excited the Padres are for Jaron Duran. They love Jaron Duran. But just in a vacuum, forget about what you'd have to give up for a second. Just Dylan Cease, would that be enough for the starting pitching need on this team?
I'd consider that a pretty big swing.
Yeah, it's a lot better than like Charlie Morton.
What we were talking about this last week. Was he top five in the Cy Young last year?
He was fourth. Here's the thing. He's a every other year guy.
Oh, right,
he's
right, right.
Classic
right,
every
right,
other
right,
year guy.
Right, right.
So he's had
Cy Young votes twice in his career, and it was last year and 2 years before that.
Yeah, 2022, he was the runner-up in the Cy Young pitching for the White Sox when he was a teammate of Garrett Crochet. 2023, he had an ERA of 4.5. Then his first year with the Padres, which was last year, he was fourth in the MVP. Oh, I'm sorry, fourth in the Cy Young, 22nd in the MVP.
Yeah.
And this year he has a 4.5 ERA again.
Yeah.
And he is a free agent after this year,
okay.
So it's not like you even get him for next year.
I would still, like, after Joe Ryan, we all want Joe Ryan.
Yes.
After Joe Ryan, is he, like, Alcantara had a good start yesterday. Edward Cabrera is back.
I think I'd rather have Merrill Kelly.
Even than Cease.
I think that Cease, and because Cease isn't locked up, you could make the case you'd rather have Seth Lugo than Cease. Lugo's having a better year. Another win last night.
Yep, Lugo's not locked up either. But
that's my point.
Better. Yeah,
if you had like 3 years of Cease or one of Lugo, I'd take the 3 years of Cease.
So
hopefully that balances.
I kind of forgot about this name too. Evaldi is back, and he's going to start and make his next start.
I'd rather have him.
So I'd have Evaldi and Ryan higher on the list. Cease might be next on the list for me.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to. It depends on if the Padres are.
But I don't want to give up Duran for
correct.
Cease.
Exactly. If the Padres are horny for Duran,
yeah.
I'm not giving up Duran for a rental pitcher like Cease.
No.
But to answer your
Machado back.
To answer your first question,
yeah.
Like would I consider it a big swing if they got Dylan Cease?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
me that would be a big name. That'd be a big acquisition. That's not Mitch Keller or
no, that's not James Paxton or Charlie Morton.
Right. That's not a scrap heap
I'm
guy.
I'm with you. I would
it's not Joe Ryan, yeah. But it's not a scrap heap guy.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. This also just popped into my head. What if it were because we've played this game a couple of different times. We're like, well, what if you got Joe Ryan plus. What if you got Cease and Suarez? Suarez is available. He's the closer with the Padres. Would you go with Duran for that?
Oh, more likely,
yeah,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I might do that,
needs,
too.
Yeah, two needs for that.
A starter and a lights-out reliever? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
And neither of us want to give up Duran, but that might be closer to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to your feedback coming up. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock each and every day. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. Clip du jour on the way as well. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.